You're listening to Amar V'Chaser with Daniel Eisberg, Maseches Yoma, Daf Chaf Ches Amud Beis. We're also going to do Chaf Tes Amud Aleph. We're going to this is a catch up from Thursday night's Chaf Ches Amud Beis. On Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, we did a new Mishnah, and we had there was a Mamuna, someone who was appointed, and he would tell somebody else to go out and check if it's the Zman Hashchita yet. And then Haroa Omer Barkai, and the one who would see it would yell out Barkai. That was the call he would say. So now we have a similar, which was an indication that there's the morning. Now we have a brisa that's similar to our Mishnah Tanya. We learned in the brisa, so Rabbi Yishmol Omer Barak Barkai. He would say Barak Barkai, which is the same idea. That there's something about, like Rashi mentioned the previous time, Barak is the lashon of Barakim, like lightning, light. So it's that the light has lightened. Rabbi Akiva Omer Allah Barkai, that the Barkai has come up. The meaning like the light has risen, the dawn has risen. Nechuma ben Afakshion Omer Af Barkai beChevron. He would say, the Barkai is even in Chevron. Masi ben Shmuel, Hamamuna ala Paisos, Omer. Masi ben Shmuel, the one who's appointed over the lotteries in the Beis Hamikdash, would say, Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach, that it has enlightened the entire East, Ad Shebe Chevron, until even Chevron. Rabbi Huda and Rashi over here mentions, that why does it mention Chevron? It's just to invoke the Schus Avos that are buried in Chevron. Of course, this is very fitting. This was Thursday night's Amud from last week. So Parshas Chayesara is when Chevron is Maris Machpelah, and the Avos that are buried there is purchased by Avraham. So it was very fitting to see this Thursday. Rabbi Yehud ben Beseira Omer Heir Pnei Kol Mizrach Ad Shebe Chevron, that it would enlighten the. It was like an extended statement. He would say that the whole East has been lit up until Chevron. V'yitzu kol ha'am ish l'malachto, and everybody has already gone out to their work. Each person has gone to his work. So that was part of the extended statement. So Gemara asks, Ihachi nagale tova. If everyone already went out to work, then that's already very light. Like what's going on? This whole thing is where we're trying to see at the very beginning of the morning. We want to make sure it's day. But this, if everyone's already gone to work, it's already clearly day. What a response? Liskor polim kabrina. No, we meant to hire workers, meaning people who had to hire workers for that day's tasks needed to hire quite early in the morning. So we're not talking about people going to start their work day, but people going to prepare and get employees to start their work day. So that's not so light. Amar Rav Safra. Rav Safra says, Slo se de Avraham, mechi meshachri kosle. The tefillah of Avraham was when the walls were darkened. So I'll have to explain a couple of things. First of all, it's a little bit confusing, but the tefillah of Avraham over here is referring to, let's start with this. It's referring to, based on context, it's clearly referring to Mincha. Rashi says it's the Tfilas Ha'erev Shalom, which means, sounds like it's Ma'erev. But of course we know from the Gemara and Brachos that Avram instituted Shachris. So we know the davening of Avram to be Shachris. Over here it's talking about Mincha, and Rashi says it's Ma'erev. So you have to really explain each one. But basically, the simplest way to understand what this means over here is that Avram davened some form of mincha also. It was more of Yitzchak's institution, but Avram also davened in the afternoons. And when Avram would do his afternoon davening, he did it when the walls would darken, meaning, Rashi explains, walls that were facing eastward, so what the sun shines on them and they are light. And at basically midday, the sun would be right over the walls, and therefore it would be shining at the top of the wall and not on the wall anymore, so the wall would become darkened. So it means that at midday, Avram would daven. So Amr of Yosef, Anan Avram Nikum Venigmar. We're going to try to learn from Avraham. Seemingly, the problem with learning Avraham, Rashi says, is that Basel Amdeno Lios is reason to Avraham. Like, it's hard to learn something from Avraham. Avraham was a Zaris. We can't learn normative halacha from Avraham. Omar, the Masar Shas quotes an Aruch over here, which seems to say that there's some other issue with learning from Avraham. Let me just find it. Yeah, so the Masar Shas quotes the Aruch is saying that there's the problem is that the Torah wasn't given yet, so it's hard to learn halacha from Avraham at that point. So we can only learn from once the Torah is given, and then from the Nevi'im and halacha Moshe Sinai. Okay, so anyway, Rava challenges this. Amar Rava, Tana Gomar Me Avraham, Banan Lo Gomrina Mine. We have a Tana that learns from Avraham Inu, and we're not going to learn from him. Titanya, as we learn to the Brisa, Beyom Hashmini Yimol Basar Arla So, Malam Shakol Hayom Kasha Lamila. We learn from the Pasuk that it says, on the eighth day, he shall circumcise the flesh, the foreskin, which teaches that the entire day is kosher for Mila. But we learned that Avram got up early in the morning, and we learned Zrizin Makdim and Lemitzos. That's a principle that we learned from Avram Aminu, a halachic principle that we try to do Zrizos. So even though you can fulfill the mitzvah of Bris Milah all day, we try to learn the Zrizos from Avram, which is exactly, according to Rashi, that's exactly the problem, right? Rav Yosef's challenge was, how can we learn from Avraham, he was a Zaris, but we actually, according to this, we actually learn Zrizos from him. And we have a Tana that does it. There's a Tana, a Mishnaic precedent. Ella Amar Rava, rather Rava says that can't be what Rav Yosef was asking, because it's clearly not the clearly doesn't make sense. Ella, so Rav Yosef Hakakashale, this was a bothering Rav Yosef, says Rava. Jitnan Chol Arve Pesachim Yos Be'erev Shabbos. Nishchat b'sheish u'mechetza, b'korav b'sheva u'mechetza. It says that if Pesach, this we learned in Pesachim, previous Masechta, that if Pesach falls out on Erev Shabbos, so they need to do things a little bit earlier so that they can roast everything on time for Yontif, which is going to be Shabbos. If Erev Pesach is Erev Shabbos. So what do? We shecht the Talmid 6.5 hours into the day, and then bring it 7.5 hours into the day, and then we'll do the Korban Pesach and we'll roast and do everything we need to do. The Nishchate Michi Shachrei Kosle, but we should do it from when the walls darken, which is from Chatzos, right? Why do we do 6.5 hours? According to what we just established, Avraham. And the Aruch actually says the Avos davened mincha by chatzos. They didn't wait a chatzos and a half hour before they do it. So if Avram is correct in what he did, which we're assuming, then the Karban tamid on Erev Pesach, it's Erev Shabbos, also should be done in chatzos. We shouldn't do it 6.5 hours. If we want to do it as early as possible, so do it the earliest possible time, chatzos. So what's the question? It's not really a problem. The Dilma Kosle de Beis Hamikdash b'sheish mechetz meshachrei mishum de lomachan mechav neituva. Maybe it's different over here when we're talking about the Korban Pesach and the Korban Tamid on Erev Pesach, Erev Shabbos. So that's that. Then we're doing timing based on the walls of the Beis Hamikdash, and maybe the walls of the Beis Hamikdash did not become darkened until 6.5 hours into the day. Right? Normal walls, Avraham's walls, other walls of houses, they become darkened by 6 hours into the day, by Chatzos. But the Beis Hamikdash is different because Mishum Delo Mechovni, because it's not evenly aligned. Rashi explains that they're tapered off, right? They're thick, the walls are thick at the bottom, and then as it goes higher, close to the top, it gets more narrow. And therefore, it will take longer for the sun to stop shining light on the walls, and then the walls to be darkened, because the top of the walls are quite narrow, and the sun is still shining down at that time. So it's hard to maybe we should daven the way Avraham Avinu did, when the walls get dark, but not when it comes, not when we're basing the, not for the Avodah and for Karbonos, because that's based on the walls of the base of Mikdash, and that's different. Okay. Inam, another possibility, Shani Avram, maybe Avram is different. It's Tagnaninus Gedola Hayasal Belibo, because he was, because astronomy was big in his heart, meaning he was Rashi says Leos Baki Balichos Amazolos. He was an expert in astronomy. It's interesting. We see it's Tagnaninus. Sometimes it means astrology. Sometimes it means astronomy. It seems to be interchangeable. That right? I mean, astronomy meaning the study of the heavenly orbs, the sun, the star, the moon, the stars, the planets, and their different rotations, just that scientific study of it. And astrology is the constellations and the zodiac and the powers that they have. So Avram seems to have been knowledgeable in all of this. So therefore, he had much better assessment of when it was time for Mincha. We, who are not experts, so we definitely don't want to do it early, so we have a half hour safety net, a half hour buffet, a buffer to make sure that we do it at the right time. Inami, another possibility is Mishum Dezakin V'yoshev V'yeshiva Hava. Maybe because he was an old man sitting in yeshiva. And because of that, so a possibility. I'm not sure. It could be that because he was in, he was sitting in yeshiva, could do it a little bit earlier. But I think the way the Farshim seem to understand it is that also he was an expert if you're not a zaken in yeshiva, you're not an expert like Avraham. You're gonna wait a half hour after chatzos before davening mincha. But where do we see that he's a zakein sitting in yeshiva? Dem Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina, mimein shavosenu lo parsha yeshiva mehem. That we see that since the days of our forefathers, we were not separated from a yeshiva. They didn't have a yeshiva separated from them. Hayyuvim Mitzrayim yeshiva mehem. When they were Mitzrayim, they had yeshiva, and we're going to assume that yeshiva is based on their being zakein. Nim shenemar, as the pasuk says. Lech v'asavta ziknei Yisrael, go gather the elders of Israel. Elders zekeinim must be the we had yeshiva in Mitzrayim. Hayyuba midbar yeshiva imahem. When they're in the midbar, they had yeshiva. Shneamar asva asafali shivim ish mizknei Yisrael. Right, Moshe was told to gather 70 zekeinim. So there must be yeshiva. Avram Avinu zakein v'yoshev yeshiva haya. Avram was an old man zakein who was sitting in yeshiva. Shneamar, as the pasuk says. This is amazing. Avram zakin baba yamim. Avram was old, coming in his days. This is amazing because this was Thursday's Amud, which was Parshas Chayesara. This pasuk is from Chayesara. Yitzchak Avinu zakin. We'll mention also that there's a whole discussion about the timing for mincha. The source of mincha is also what was in last week's parsha. Vayitzchak Yitzchak l'suach basodeh. Also, it's there. Yitzchak Avinu zakein v'yoshev v'yeshiva. Yitzchak Avinu was also an old man sitting in yeshiva. Shneamar, as pasuk says, v'yehi ki zakein zakan Yitzchak. Yitzchak became old. Yaakov Avinu zakein v'yoshev v'yeshiva. Hayosh shneamar ve'enei Yisrael kavdu mizaken. We also see that Yaakov Avinu was an old man in yeshiva because it says his eyes became heavy from zaken, from being old. Eliezer eved Avraham zakein v'yoshev v'yeshiva haya. Eliezer ben Avraham, Eved Avraham was also a zakin yeshiva. Shneamar, as the pasuk says, "Vayomer Avraham el avdo zakan beiso Moshe b'chol asher lo." That Avraham said to his eved, the elder of his home, who ruled everything that was his. Amazing. Again, this is another pasuk from last week's parsha. Amar Rabbi Lazar Shemoshe b'toras rabba. What does it mean that he ruled over everything that was his? He had control of everything that was his. That he ruled over the Torah of his rebbe. Of his master, Avraham. Who Damasek Eliezer? This is the Damasek Eliezer, seemingly the man from Damascus, but it's going to be Darshan. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Shadola Umashka Mitarasa Shalrabo Lachirim. That he would draw water, but like over here, draw lessons of Torah, and Mashka, and then give to others, give to others the teachings of his master, of his Rebbe Avraham. So he was the dole damesek is dole umashke, that he would drink and draw the teachings from his master and give them over to others. Amar Rav. Rav says, Kayem Avraham Avinu Kola Torah Kula Shnemar Ekev Asher Shema Avraham Bekoli V'Gomer. This is actually a pasuk in this week's parsha. This is in Parshas Toldos that Avram says Rav. Really, it's a Mishnah in Maseches Kedushin, the last Mishnah in Kedushin, that Avram fulfilled the entire Torah. He kept the entire Torah, as the pasuk says. Ekev Asher Shema Avraham Bekoli V'Gomer. This is because Hashem is talking to Yitzchak because Avram listened to my voice. So the full pasuk, let's just read in the Torah or Hashalim, the full pasuk is Ekev Asher Shema Avraham Bekoli, that Avraham listened to my voice, Vayishmor Mishmarti, and he kept my guard, the thing that I told him to keep, Mitzvosai, Chukosai, Vesorosai, my commandments, my statutes, and my Torahs, my teachings. So Amar Le Rav Shimi, so we see he kept the Torah. Amar Le Rav Shimi Barachia L'Rav, Shimon Barachia said to Rav, Ve'ema Sheva Mitzvos, maybe it just means the Sheva Mitzvos by Noach, not that he kept the entire Torah. Ha Ikonami Mila, what are you talking about? There's also Mila, right? He kept Mila, okay. Ve'ema Sheva Mitzvos and Mila. So maybe he kept the seven Mitzvos and Mila. And that would be Mitzvosai and Mishmarti. Mishmarti would be Mishmila, Mitzvosai is the Mitzvos. Amar Le, Im Kein, Mitzvosai Vesorosai Lamali. Or maybe the Chukosai would be the Sheva Mitzvos and Noach. So, but what about Mitzvosai? What about Vesorosai? What is all this? So Lamali, what is that? All that. Therefore, that comes to indicate that he didn't only keep the Sheva Mitzvos and Noach and Bris Mila, but really Kol Torah Kula. All of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Amar Rava, here's the change to Rava, Visema Ravashi, so Ravashi, Kayim Avraham Avinu Afilu Eruve Tavshilin. He even fulfilled Eruv Tavshilin. Eruv Tavshilin is, of course, the mitzvah to when Yom Tov goes into Shabbos to allow us to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, and it's a rabbinic institution, so it's hard to imagine how Avram kept that, but it just says Shenamar Torah Sai, because it says keep my Torahs. Avram kept my Torahs. Achas Torah Shavaksav, Achas Torah Shavah Peh. One is Torah Shavaksav, one is Torah Shavah Peh. So even the Eruvei Tavshilin, which is Torah Shavah Peh, Avram kept. Now it's just worth noting that there's different types of Torah Shavah Peh. There's the oral explanation for written commandments, meaning the Torah says tacha, ayin tachas ayin, that you knock out that eye for an eye, which sounds like you knock out an eye for an eye. And the Torah Shabbal Peh tells us that's not what it means. It means you pay the value of an eye for an eye. So there's that type, and which Avraham Avinu kept. But over here it's saying even more than that. Not just he kept that Torah Shabbal Peh, but even the rabbinic institutions that are passed down from generation to generation that the rabbis instituted, even Avraham kept those. Even Erev Tavshilin. There's also actually other versions of this in Chazal, where it's not just Erev, maybe not Erev Tavshilin, maybe it's Erev Tchumen. So it's an interesting discussion, and definitely a much greater interesting discussion is how it could be that the Avos kept these mitzvos. Where do they know them from? Does everybody hold that they kept the mitzvos? Does it mean it literally? And what about times where we see that they don't keep certain mitzvos, they violate Isurim? Ramban deals with that in the sixth parsha. So on this pasuk, but it's a very, very interesting discussion. Not for now. Okay, moving on. Messiah ben Shmuel Omer v'chule v'hu Omer heim. So we had a conversation in our Mishnah. I'm just turning back to Rebbe's Amud, that it says that Messiah ben Shmuel would say, "Heir pnei kol mizrach ad shebechevron." He would say the entire east is lightened up until Chevron. V'hu Omer Hain, and he said Hain, which means yes. So this conversation is a little. Wait, what do you mean yes? Well, what's going on here? Who's talking? So Gemara asks, "Man Omer Hain, who said yes?" Ilema hachtekoya igra. If you're going to tell me the guy who's on the roof is the one who says yes, meaning he says the whole area has been lit up, the whole east has been lit up until Chevron, yes. So hu chalim v'hu mifshar. He's the dreamer and he's also going to interpret it. You know, you can have a conversation with yourself. Ela hachtekoya ara. So rather, it's the guy who's on the ground, the guy who's asking, who's saying, "Hey, did the whole thing shine?" And he says, "Yeah, until Chevron." And he says, "Yes." What do you mean? So mina yada. How does he know? What do you mean? Yes. So ibay seima hafta koya arav, ibay seima hafta koya aigra. You can say both. The person who said hain could be either one, and we'll explain both. Both possibilities. Ibay seima, if you want, you could say hafta koya aigra. That's maybe it's the guy on the roof. Amar ihu, he said, heir pnei kol mizrach. He said the light has lit up the entire east. And the guy on the ground then says to him, is it even shining until Chevron? And then the guy on the roof says back, Hain, yes, it's still Chevron, I'm answering your question. But there's another possibility of the conversation. The guy who is on the ground, Amar, he would say, Amar Ihu, hey, or Kopane Mizrach, as a question. He would say, hey, you on the roof, is it lit up? Is the entire east lit up? And he would say back, yes, it is, even until Chevron. And he would say back to him, Hain, yes, meaning great, confirmed, as Rashi explains that. Yeah, that's what I was asking. Good, excellent. Okay, those are two possibilities in the conversation. Why did we need this? So the Mishnah explains that there was a one time where they thought the sun was shining. It was actually the moon that was shining. And they brought the carbon tamid early, and they had to, and it was possible. So the Gemara says, "Why did this? Umi michlif? Is that? Would you really switch? Would you really mix up the moonlight and the sunlight?" Well, Tanya, but we learned in the Brisa. So Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, "Eino doma timor shel lavana, the timor shel chama." That the timor is like a column, like sometimes like a column of smoke, like timros ashan. Weird, it seems to me like a moonbeam. So Rebbe says that the moonbeam is not like the sunbeam. Timur shalavana mitamar va'ola kamakel. That the moonbeam like is goes up straight like a stick. Timur shalchama maftsia lakan lakan. But the sunbeam spreads out here and there and everywhere. It goes all everywhere. Tana. So it's hard to mix them up. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana de Rabbi Shmuel said yom hamu unan haya. It was a cloudy day, umaftia lakan ulakan. So it was spreading out here and there, but it was a cloudy day, and it was the moonlight. So the moonbeam was spreading out because of the clouds, and therefore they thought it was the sun. Omer Rav Papa Shmamina Yom Deiva Kule Shimsha. Rav Papa says we learn from here that a cloudy day is filled with sun. That even if it's cloudy, you should know that the power of the sun is there. Based on this, because the sun will spread out. Meaning that if it's cloudy, so there are spaces, breaks in the cloud, and the sun and the light can go through here and there. So even if it's cloudy, there should be a lot of sun. Okay, so the Gemara says, it's very nice that you told me that, but Lamayan Nafgamina, what's Nafgamina? What's the practical difference of that, knowing that information? So first of all, the Shatuche Oros, it's for people who spread out hides. People who spread out hides for them to dry, so you should know that if you spread them out, even if the day is cloudy, you don't see much sun, you should know that the sun is all over the place, breaking through the breaks in the cloud, the clouds, the cracks in the clouds, so you can definitely dry out your hides. Even if the place it doesn't look particularly sunny, if it's a cloudy day, inami. Alternatively, what you can learn from this is lechidarash rava, like that which rava darshan isha lo talish lebachama lebachamechama. That a woman should not need dough. This is referring to dough on Pesach because we don't want to become chametz. Not in the chama or in the chamechama. Not in the sun or water that is heated up by the sun. So because of that, a woman kneading dough on Pesach would try to avoid the sun. So you should know that even just because it's a cloudy day, you say, okay, there's no sun. You still have to be careful and actually knead inside because there's a lot of sun. Even it might be misleading that the fact that you don't see the sun, you should avoid it. Okay.
Amar Rav Nachman, Zuhama de Shimsha Kashi Mishimsha, that the filthy, nasty heat of the sun is harsher than the sun itself. The Simenech, and your simen to remember that, Dana de Chala, is a jar of vinegar. The jar of vinegar, Rashi says, is that it's something that's very close. It's when it's sealed, Shapia Sasun Yafa, when it's sealed carefully, then its reach, its very powerful scent, does not get out. But if you make a little bit of a hole, a nokev nukav katan, says Rashi, you make a little hole. So from that point where it's the hole, because it's so strong, so powerful and pungent, the smell of and the koach of this vinegar, that and it's sealed tight, but when if they make a little bit hole, it's going to be very, very strong from that hole. So this zuham of the shimsha, because it's concentrated, it's going to be much more powerful than the sun in general when the sun is not covered. And so the simon to remember that is the dana dechala, shavrire de shimsha. So the Rashi says, "Sinvarim, the blinding power, the blinding effects of the sun, Kashmi Shimsha is hard, is also harsher than the sun itself." V'simenech Dilfa, and the simen to remember this is Dilfa, which means dripping. Rashi says, "Kasha Delfa Yored Aladam Mishim Nichnas Kol Gufa Lemayim." Right, a direct impact drip has more of an impact on a person than getting his whole water body in the water. Again, it seems to be it's more concentrated, so that has greater power. Now going to Chaf Tes Amud Aleph, Hirhuri Avera Kashum Avera, that and thoughts of doing an Avera, Tivus Nushin Rashi says, is worse to weaken a person's flesh more than the Avera itself. You don't understand what exactly that means. Definitely, if someone if someone has a choice to think of an Avera or do it, then someone should definitely think it and not actually do it. But there's different explanations for what this might mean, that just it overpowers you, it takes up your mind space, or it uses the most powerful thing that we have and the holiest thing we have, our mind space, for negativity, whatever it might be. But it's a definitely powerful statement about the dangers of Hirhuri Avera. V'simenech, and a way to remember this is Recha de Bisra, the smell of flesh. Rashi says, Amariach Basar, Tzli, Koshalo, Reach Ma'od, Shemzavalo. That somebody who smells roasted meat, it's a very harsh smell than even the taiva to eat it. That if it's disturbing, distracting, disruptive, then that's even more disruptive than the taiva to eat it. Shilhi de Kaita, which is the end of the Kayitz, the end of the summer, is Kashya me Kaita, is harsher than the summer itself. V'simenech Tanura Shagira. If you want to have a simen for it, it's Rashi says it's a Tanura Shahusak Biyom Paimayim V'shlosh Chamhu. That a heated up oven has already been heated up a few times, two, three times that day, so it's very easy to heat it up at the end of the day because it's already very hot. So the end of the summer, when it's is when there's been buildup of heat and heat and heat and heat, so it takes its toll and it's even harsher than the end of the summer. Disisva Kasha, Ishta disisva kasha midekaita. That the Ishta, like a fever, disisva of the winter is harsher than a summer fever. Right? When a summer fever, a person's already, but their body is already hot, and they're therefore, so if the fever makes them a little bit hotter, it's not as bad as that contrast of being cold and going into hot. Or could be just it's a demonstration of how harsh the sickness is, that it's even making him hot even when it's very cold. Whatever it is, v'simenech, and your simen for that is tanura karira, a cold oven. Cold ovens are hard to heat up. Migmar ba'atikta, kasha mechadatta. cement. Oh no, this is not the cement one. Sorry. This is Migmar, learning. Batikta, when it's old, is kasha mechadta, is harsher than when than sorry, it's just than learning something new. Sorry, let me say it again. It's harder to learn to relearn something that you already know than to learn something brand new. V'simineich, and the simon for this, Tina bar Tina, cement, the son of cement, that when you have cement that was already previously cement, so it's a lot harder to change it into something new as opposed to making cement from scratch. Okay, so that's a list of things that are harder than other things and simanim in nature to remember that. Om Rabbi Abahu, my time with the Rebbe, what's the reason for that which Rebbe said? Rebbe told us that the sun is Maftzia, so what's the reason for that? Meaning, is there a source that we have anywhere to see such a thing? So, Diksiv, because the Pasuk says, Lamentech al Yalas HaShachar. That right, this is Lamanatzech. This is a Chaf Beis. Famously, Esther Malka was saying this on the way to Achashverosh. It's Keli Keli Lamazavtoni. So, and many people have the minhag to read this after the Shir Shalom, along with the Shir Shalom on Purim. So Lamanatzech al Yalas HaShachar. What does a Yalas HaShachar mean? My Ayala is called a hind, maybe it's a different some sort of deer. So just like a yella, zu karna maftzilos, lakan lakan, just like its horns, its antlers will go out and grow out here and there. Af shachar ze maftzil lakan lakan. So too is the shachar, right? We said ayelas ha-shachar, compares the ayelas to the shachar. That the shachar is, which is this over here, the morning, will spread out here and there, just like antlers of a deer. Amar Rabbi Zeira, loma nimshala Esther la ayela. Why is Esther referred to as ayelas ha-shachar? Right, that's one understanding of Chazal, that it's a reference to Esther Ayala. So Lomar Lacha, to tell you, my Yala Rachama Tsar V'Chaviva Al Bala Kol Shah V'Shah Kishar Rishona, just like so. This is some interesting deer anatomy. Just like the rechem, the womb of a female deer is tight, and therefore it makes it beloved to the male deer. To the buck, every time that they have relations, meaning the buck always enjoys the doe, like it was the first time because of the certain tightness that the doe has. So af Esther ha'isa chaviva al Achashverosh kol shah v'shah kishah rishona. So too was Esther beloved by Achashverosh, that every single time it was like the first time. So she's compared to Ayala. Amar Rabbi Asi, Loma Nimshala Esther L'Shachar. Why is Esther compared to the Shachar? We call her Ayelas HaShachar. So there's Ayelas, the Ayelas. Why is she compared to the Shachar? Loma L'cha, to tell you, Ma Shachar Sov Kol Alayla, just like the Shachar is the end of all of night. Here we end it with the morning. Av Esther Sov Kol Anisim. So too, Esther is the end of all miracles. It's interesting. Maybe not for now, but it's interesting that it would refer to a time of miracles as the night. Usually we would think the opposite. But anyway, the morning is a big end to a series of hours of night. And therefore, Esther's also the end of a long time of series of miracles, but the miracles end with her. Oh yeah? V'ha'ika Chanukah. Hold on, but we also have Chanukah. That's also a miracle that we know of that happened after the time of Esther. Very nice to see. Shout out to Hanukkah, the week of Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So we're already getting into the Hanukkah spirit. Nitna lichtov kamrinan. No, we meant of miracles that we're allowed to write down. Meaning, it's not the end of miracles. There are many miracles. You know that maybe at least Hanukkah. Could be, you can argue even more miracles. But which miracles were we allowed to write down and make a part of Tanakh? Esther was the end of that. So really, you could say that Esther is not the end of miracles, but the end of miracles recorded in Torah Shebeksav, and really the writing of Torah Shebeksav, and you know, as it is. Hanicha laman damar Esther nitna lichtov. So this makes sense. This approach of comparing Esther to the Shachar makes sense according to the one who says that Esther is allowed to be written down as Nach. Elaman da'amar Esther lo nitna lichtov. But the one who says that Esther actually doesn't count as a sefer in Tanakh, this is an opinion that we see in Megillah. I forgot where it's actually quoted. It's based in Menachos, but we see it with this discussion quoted in Megillah as well. So the one that says Esther should not be written. So what's the comparison of Esther to the Shachar? So according to the man damer Esther lo nitna lichtov ma'ikalame. I'm already able to say. So mukim look Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yafes. So we can establish it like Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yafes, meaning we can follow what he said. I'm Rabbi Elazar and then Rabbi Elazar. Damer Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yafes. I'm Rabbi Elazar. Lomanim shalut tefilas and shal tzadikim kayeles. Why do we compare the tefila of tzadikim to an ayeles? Where do we do that? So Rashi says, "Dehai shachar lashon tefila." Sometimes shachar is not an expression of mourning, but it could mean davening. Hudarish le kamo ruchi bekirbi ashachrecha, which is a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Rashi quotes. So what that means is that we would read it as lamatzeach ala tefila shehi kayeles. So it's not talking about the mourning. It's talking, what does it mean, ayeles ha-shachar? It's comparing shachar, davening, to an ayeles, to a deer. So now, based on that, Rabbi Lezer says, why do we compare the tefillah of tzaddikim to an ayeles? Lomer lecha, just like to teach you, ma ayelezu kol zman shemegadeles karneha maftzilos. Just like a deer, all the time that it grows, its antlers branch out. Af tzadikim kol zman shemarbim b'tvila, marbim tvila, tvilas nishmas. So too, tzadikim, the more that they grow and increase in their tvila is heard. Now, seems to me that as we go on, we should always increase in tvila never stop davening and realize our tvilas are heard. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Shachtu es atamid. So they shechted the tamid. Amos. When did this take place? There's a story, right? Going back to the Mishnah for a moment. It says that this is the Mishnah on Chav Chesamad Aleph. It says that they what do they need? Why do they need to have this whole back and forth about when the morning was? Because what happened? Veshachtu es one time. They shechtu as a tamid. They shechted the tamid. Votes Yehu, and they had to bring the base of Shreifa. They had to bring it to the base of Shreifa to burn it because it was pasul. And then the Mishnah says Horidu Kohen Gadol the base of Tvila, and they brought down the Kohen Gadol to the base of Tvila, the place to tovel himself. And then it says this is the klal in the mikdash that anybody who used the bathroom they would need Tvila or Natila based on what type of how they use the bathroom. So now the Gemara says over here, Amos, when did they shech the tamid? Meaning, what point of year? If you're going to tell me that it was at any other day of the year, lo sagi delav kohen gadol. So you don't have to mention the kohen gadol. It says over here, horidu kohen gadol. They brought down the kohen gadol after this because of the. So it sounds like it was elabi yom kippurim. Rather, it sounds like it was a Yom Kippur story. It's not a rest of the year story because it specifies what's the Kohen Gadol, but the Kohen Gadol only has to do it for Yom Kippur. But Ela B'Yom Kippurim Me'or HaLevana Mi'ika. But on Yom Kippur, is there the light of the moon? Is the light of the moon shining in a way that you might think it's the sun? Rashi explains that L'tzmoch Samoch L'Shachar, Yom Kippur. Based on the time of the year and Yom Kippur, the time of the month, being on the 10th of the month, the moonlight wouldn't shine and make you think it was the sunlight. That's not possible. So it's hard to say that it's Yom Kippur. So Hachikamer, so this is what the Mishnah is saying. V'yom Kippurim ki amar barak barkai haridu kohen gadol lebeis ha-tevila. That on Yom Kippur, when they would say barak barkai, and then they would bring the Kohen Gadol to the base of Tevila. Meaning that the way you should read the Mishnah is as follows. You put the V'lama Hutzrichu Lekach in parentheses, and you close the parentheses after Votziyu Lebeis HaStreifa. So it's that, you know, we say in the morning they would do this whole thing with them. They would say Bar Kai. He would say the whole east until Chevron. He would say yes. And then the next thing you should read, just to follow the sequence of the Mishnah, is Horidu Kohen Gadol Beis Tefillah. They'd bring the Kohen Gadol Beis Tefillah. So that's all the Yom Kippur stuff. Then there's a story in parentheses about why they needed to do this, but this was not a Yom Kippur story. This was some other time of the year. And we will call it here.